The Dalai Lama's most recent visit to Bloomington a few weeks ago brought hundreds of visitors seeking his words of wisdom. And while it's a frequent pit stop for His Holiness, Bloomington is also home to a fair share of Buddhist art. Megan Meyer spent time with the director of the Tibetan-Mongolian Buddhist Cultural Center to learn more about the stories Buddhist art tells.
When you visit the Tibetan-Mongolian Buddhist Cultural Center in Bloomington, you'll find that it's filled with art. Arjo Rinpoche is director of the cultural center, and not only is he a Tibetan High Lama, but he is also an architect and an artist himself. He walks me through the center and its lush green campus and talks about how the ethos of peace and compassion is taught through Tibetan Buddhist art.
One thing I want to show, that's a tanka. You know, that's called tanka. So tanka means like the paintings. Paintings on the wall or paintings on the fabric. So in Tibet, in Kumbum especially, we have three arts, very famous. One is butter sculpture, one is tanka, the other one is the apple case.
For those of you unfamiliar with the sewing needle, the last one Rinpoche mentioned was applique. It's an art form that uses pieces of fabric and embroidery to create scenes and designs. Applique techniques are often used in American quilting. But let's go back a bit. Did he say butter sculptures?
Those are butter sculptures. So those are offerings. However, later became more decorations than offerings.
Since the sculptures were originally used in Tibet for food offerings in Buddhist temples, that sheds light on why they're made out of butter. Fruits and vegetables are hard to come by in the mountains of Tibet, but Rinpoche says they know how to make the most of what they have plenty of.
Because in Tibet, we have lots of butter, so we use this butter for lamp, those butter sculptures. Then also we use this butter as a food.
If you're familiar with other forms of Buddhist art, you might remember seeing images of human-like characters with many arms and heads and sometimes even many legs. Judy Stubbs is the curator of Asian art at the IU Art Museum and helps the Western mind understand the symbolism of those bizarre images.
An image of a Buddhist deity with many arms, you're not supposed to see it as somehow a freak, but as each one of those arms represents or holds an icon or an image or a message or a mudra, a hand gesture, which then allows you to understand a piece of the message.
A few of the characterizations make one wonder what that message could be. Buddhist art includes images of angry, weapon-wielding, fire-breathing demons that don't seem to fit into Buddhist concepts of peace and compassion.
That's not to scare the believer into compliance. It is to scare away the impediments to enlightenment. They're helping you achieve your perfection of your practice. And so what often looks to be frightening is really not directed at the believer. It's directed at the impediments. And the impediments are things like ignorance. You know, the ideas are very abstract. And so using very concrete forms to make these ideas understandable.
Sometimes Buddhist art is less about the image than it is about the practice and process of the art form. For example, mandalas are detailed portrayals featuring many forms, colors, symbols, and scenes.
Say, if you're studying, practicing Buddhism in some forms, you start with these very complicated sort of spiritual diagrams where you have lots of different images, lots of different symbols. And by focusing on each section and understanding the message, by the time you understand the whole, you have gained a great deal of knowledge. And so it's not sort of worshiping the image itself.
Back at the cultural center, Russ Ellis creates tankas of beads to further his understanding of Buddhist teachings. His education during the time it takes to create a tanka is focused on one pattern at a time.
Like, I usually pick one I know nothing about. And as I work on it, I start to get more of an understanding. And usually by the time I'm done, I can give a pretty rational explanation of what it means. So this one I'm still working on, and I have a lot to learn.
He has a lot of work to do, too. For each stitch on his beaded tankas, Ellis recites a mantra. And each of his tankas requires no less than 108,000 stitches.
takes 2,000 hours. So that's like a year, 40 hours a week. So I've sat and beaded for close to 8 years of my life just doing this. It's very calming. I think I can say now I have a lot more patience than I used to. In fact, that I can definitely say.
Sometimes artists will put hours upon hours into a piece that will never be displayed. There are some mandalas made of sand that monks will destroy upon completion.
In our mind, we always have two problems. One is attachment, one is anger. So when something very beautiful, then we always have attachment.
For WFIU's Artworks, I'm Megan Meyer.
Photos of some of the art featured in this story or information about Archa Rinpoche's newly published autobiography, Surviving the Dragon, a Tibetan Lama's account of 40 years under Chinese rule, can be found on our website, wfiu.org/artworks.